I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 228. Today is Monday, November 25th, 2019. Hey, everybody, welcome to the morning. No, what is this?
Yeah, the morning boop. It's the morning boop.
That's the kind of day I'm having. Nothing works. My brain, especially. Hey, it's the Boop Show. B-O-O-P. I'm Scott. That's Brian Dunaway. We're here and we're making a show. Hi, Brian Dunaway. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott. I heard we should make a show.
That's what I heard as well. We're on this every other week schedule, and sometimes that's a bummer because I miss having this conversation with you, but hey, folks, a quick little note here. Brian and I might be having a little couple things boiling around on the plate. And we're talking about some interesting ideas and some things, so just keep your eyes peeled, keep your ears on. You never know what's going to come around the corner and bite you in the peter. So,
oh my God.
I know.
This is such a violent Scott.
It is pretty violent. Don't get bit in the peter. That's my advice to you.
Right, right.
Dear listeners.
We're getting so off. There's a skeeter on my peter. Blow it off. You ever heard that song?
No.
You ever know?
No. Right. This is great. Tell me more about this skeeter on the peter.
You've never heard it. I'm trying to figure out if this is the right place to say it because it's kind of blue for what we usually do.
Well,
but I'm
going
to do it. There used to be a song called, we used to sing it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if there was a comedian, but a friend of mine used to always sing it. There's a skeeter on my peter, blow it off. And I don't know exactly where he got it from, but it always made me laugh.
There's a skeeter on my peter, blow it off.
That's like exactly that. How it went.
Okay.
That was it.
I knew it. I just had a feeling. Yeah, I never heard that one before. I know what a skeeter is. We used to catch skeeters and put them in my friend's lunch bag and stuff like that.
Yeah, you ever get chiggers?
No, chiggers are very south, very in the south. But when I was in Mississippi, this one time, we played touch football in a field that looked fun, like it was fine, no big deal. But there was some kind of tall grass in there, and I thought, there's stuff down here that is making chirpy noises. I don't know, man. No, let's play. So we played, and then went to bed or something, and then woke up the next day. And everyone's feet looked like elephant feet, and they were all red and bit everywhere. It was awful. It was awful.
Oh, they're the worst. They're the worst.
Yeah. So,
but I do like that you call it. This is we all. As long as we've been together, we've been doing this. Oh my God, how many years has it been? It's got 2005.
So 20
years.
Hold on.
It's getting on there. What? 14 years? 15 years? Close to
14 or 15 years of this. Yeah.
And it always amazes me how things are different in Utah and South Carolina. As much as the internet has brought us together, there's still things that I'm like, I can't believe that you people do that.
Yep. Well, here's the thing. If you go to the South, South Carolina, Mississippi, whatever, and you lay out overnight, like in the brush,
right,
you're going to wake up in the morning a skeleton because you'll be eaten by a billion bugs and little things. Here, you can do that. And you might get a mosquito bite, you might get a couple spider bites, but it's all desert threats. It's not really all those humid bug threats you guys have.
Right. And Australia is like, hold our beer.
Yeah.
Hold our Faustus.
Hold this giant beer of ours because, mate.
Oi, we're going to show you what it really feels like.
That's right. I'll tell you what it feels like to play games, though. We played games, and we're going to start talking about them now. Brian played two very significant things. Well, one is a game, and the other is a game on a platform that's very significant in terms of what's kind of in the breaking
news. There's
more.
There's actually one I didn't put in here. Hold on a second. I played this too. It's also very
significant.
I'm gonna stick it in right now because I almost forgot that I played this. Not because it's bad, just because I didn't have as much time to play as I wanted to.
So I get you. I get you. Stick it right in there.
But yeah, I played a lot of AAA and big stuff, big stuff.
Yeah, big dick stuff. So here's the deal.
That's not what I said.
No, that's my friend's name from high school. His name was Big Dick Stuff.
Okay.
And we used to hang out, and he was a great guy. Anyway,
hang out with Big Rich.
So I'm gonna start with something a little bit small, and then we'll move over to Brian. My small game to talk about is a game called Lonely Mountains: Downhill.
Right.
There is no quitting you in this game. It's not one of those. It's not what's that show called? Brokeback. It's not Brokeback Mountain. It's right. It's none of that. It's a game called Lonely Mountain, and I'm going to show you guys on screen here what this is. There you go. So chat room, you can see this video going. You're going to look at that and go, oh, all right, it's some kind of BMX biking dude, and boy, he's not made of too many polygons, and now that you mention it, the whole world's a little bit stylized and low poly looking. Interesting. What the heck is this thing? Well, if you have Microsoft Game Pass, you may have seen this on the Game Pass list of games, non-Microsoft games that were showcased recently on there that you could then download and play if you wanted to. You can buy this in other places and play it. PlayStation has it. The I think Steam may have it also. If not Steam, right. Certainly Epic. Somebody does. Anyway, I got it off the Microsoft Game Pass for PC stuff. And it's a downhill BMX thing with amazing sound. It just sounds amazing.
I'm liking these polygons. It's very low poly
on purpose. It's meant to look, you know, all stylized like that. Your goal is to just do a series of like downhill runs, and there's checkpoints. And if you crash, it makes you start from the last checkpoint. Use a controller mainly. I guess you could use keyboard here, but I'm not. There is something about it. I cannot put my finger on why I like it so much, but there is a feel to this that's just jamming with me.
Right. And it's very fluid.
Yeah, it's very fluid. It has just great control style. If you're smart about how the brakes work and how the acceleration works, then you get a good feel for the rhythm you need for, you know, how to take corners at speed and how to avoid obstacles like big rocks jutting out in your way and that sort of thing. It doesn't give you a full view of what's ahead of you. You have kind of a three-quarter view, a little broader than that, but a smaller view over your character on his bike and a section of the mountain as you're traversing it, with all of its jumps and bumps and all that other stuff. But then you also can't necessarily tell that right ahead of you is a big cluster of rocks that you need to go around. Some of this is luck. Some of this is break and be ready for the unknown. Or you've already been through this part and you know that there's a part of this that you have to be careful with or whatever.
Right.
There's cliffs you can jump sometimes. A video just saw one of those happen. Trees will sometimes be much more populated than usual. And then you got to watch out in there because you just slam yourself into a freaking tree. And it doesn't have music for the downhill part. It's just this great audio engineering that just makes it sound like you are in nature on this bike. You hear birds flying by. You hear your bike making all the bike noises that bikes make. And when I say bike, we're not talking motorcycle. We're talking like, you know.
No.
Pedals. It's a freaking BMX bike.
Exactly what it is. A little BMX bike.
Yeah.
Which is, and you know, I'm watching this video footage of the game, and it seems to capture something in a different method than what you actually experience when you're riding a BMX bike around, you know, down hills and different things. I mean, you're trying to really get past all the obstacles in real life when you're riding a bike. You only got so much vision, right? Because you're going at a pretty good clip.
Mm-hmm.
And they've narrowed your abilities to my camera's off. Yep. And they've narrowed your abilities to see where you're going. And
yeah.
It sounds like they've really created this really immersive experience that kind of is, you know, realistic towards riding the bike outside.
Yeah, and it feels unpredictable. At the same time, their skill in learning the course, and it just gets harder and harder. And every course has different different unlocks and achievements and stuff that you aim for, like get all the way down without ever hitting a rock, or go all the way down without pedaling ever, or don't break once, or, you know, like that kind of stuff.
The only thing I'm disappointed in, I haven't seen yet. I really need, every time you fail, I need a cut scene of you sitting there holding your knee as it bleeds and just going, ow, 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 it hurts.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like him just going, yeah, he doesn't do any of that. He does wipe out, and when he does, there's pixel blood. Sort of just chunks of what's the word? Voxel blood will go flying, because again, this is purposefully not cell shaded isn't the right word. It's just, it's low poly, but too, it's for an artistic effect. It works really well.
Yeah, it was good because you're talking about riding, you know, peaks of mountains and you're passing by these trees and it just, and it's got to be able to render each part of this fairly quickly. So it's artistic choice, but it's also probably a very, very good.
It probably helps performance. Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah. I mean, I don't actually know. It does a tilt shift effect as well.
Right.
That makes it seem like, you know,
but this is not procedurally generated, right? This is actually like maps of different tracks.
These
right?
are set tracks. Yes. Right. I think, oh, don't quote me on this. I want to say either I heard they were talking about doing it or there's a mode that includes possibly the ability to play this game on generated, you know, like on the fly maps. Oh, I'm not 100% sure about that.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. That'd be a neat feature. If they don't, maybe they should consider it. But
Lonely Mountains Downhill. Did they explain why it's called Lonely Mountains other than there's no music and it's just you?
I don't know. Since this is the colon downhill game, maybe they have a Lonely Mountains uphill or a Lonely Mountains.
Lonely Mountains camping trip.
Just sitting here. Yeah, camping next to this rock. Colon, we're out here in nature.com. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking, but.
It's got a very good reviews, and this guy is 9 out of 10 on Steam.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like did you say you played this on the Game Pass, but you play it on PC, right?
Yeah, PC on the Game Pass. Yeah, you're on it. Yep.
Right.
Don't have an Xbox, so I play all my Game Pass Microsoft stuff. I play on PC, but they put more and more of these like smaller indie games on there, and I love it. Love it. Love it.
So good. And if not, you can always pick it up for $20 off of Steam. Very positive. Just came out recently too. This October the 23rd, so really recent.
Yeah, pretty new. I kind of just bumped into it. Honestly, I just saw this thing and I went, "What is this even?" And I downloaded it and I went, "Oh, this is rad." And then I started seeing there were some articles. Kotaku had a guide that was talking about, you know, what to do in the game to make it better. Or how to like skip certain obstacles or take jumps off of certain ledges and not worry about dying if you do. And that sort of thing. The guy in this video is slamming into a lot of trees, and I don't know why.
Right. I was just looking at that because I was like, I was watching yours, but I also was flipping between the Steam page, and the Steam page has this montage of bloody accidents where the guy's just hitting things one after the next, and it is just brutal.
Yeah.
It just looks vicious.
Yep. It's pretty vicious. And again, you can select mountains. They're one of them. They have different trials per mountain. This is the Greater Horn is the first one you're on. And in order for you to unlock additional mountains, you have to accomplish those trials. So the beginner course includes a certain number of conditions that you have to do. Like, few resets between checkpoints or stuff like that.
Right.
I think it's rad. I really like it a lot. And would recommend this highly to anybody out there who wants to try it. The version we're watching on video here is somebody on the PS4 version. I can't tell here because I think this is captured in 30 frames per second, but it's 60 FPS on PC.
It looks really good. Yeah, I saw some of the trailer in the on the Steam, and it just looks amazing.
Yeah, it's just neat. It's a neat thing.
I do like how they don't break things up. I mean, because they have all your tips and instructions as like place markers in the actual world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, you got to hit the L button to do this.
Yep. By the way, chat, Fastidious in the chat says, OMG, he has no face. You're right. The character has no face. He's just got low poly face. He's like, the game is like a Cybertruck simulator, just low poly, poly again, it's clearly on purpose and it's meant to have a certain feel to it. And I love games that look like this. I like RPGs that look like this. There's a few games out there. It's kind of a thing people are doing right now or messing with. And I dig it. I dig it. This is probably really good on Switch. I don't know if it's actually on there, but it would be great on there, I'll bet.
It's a good idea. Let me see here.
Yeah, see if it is. See if the Switch version offers or if there is a version. Switch,
because that's where I'd like to play it, even though it is free on my Xbox Game Pass, but...
Well, not really free, right?
You're paying a monthly subscription, right? Well, it's practically free for me because I keep getting the great deals. They're still doing that on the Xbox. I keep extending it further and further out for, you know, $5, $10 here. And it's just right now I'm going to have it until, I don't know, the next Xbox comes out, I suppose.
I updated it, mine, to the full-blown Ultimate.
Ultimate.
Even though I don't benefit as much because I don't have an Xbox, but I want all the PC benefits, which are many.
Right.
And I have a feeling that that will be the subscription that includes xCloud and all that. I mean, they may xCloud. They may decide to charge separate for that, but I don't think so.
Oh, I got into that, the xCloud thing.
The beta? Did you play the beta?
Not yet. I just got it like Saturday, and I haven't had a chance to mess with it. And you'll know why very shortly here when I talk about it. But it was odd because it said it'll take like 2 months, and it was like 48 hours later. Here you go. Come on in. I was like, all right, so I guess that's cool.
Yeah, I want to know more about that because in light of Stadia and other goings on, I'm super curious about that. All right, let's get to a PlayStation game that you're playing, Death Stranding. It's not like anyone's not heard of this. This is a huge AAA release. Yeah. This is a gigantic thing. It's a very divisive game. There is a lot of people who really dislike it and a ton of people who love it. It was nominated for something like 12, I forgot the number, but a ton of awards at the Video Game Awards. Now there's controversy about that because the awards are run by Jeff Keighley. Jeff Keighley is actually in the game and is friends with Hideo Kojima, so there's like a lot of people going crying foul about that. Whatever, I don't care about awards, so it doesn't bother me. Doesn't really bother me, but I would be very curious as to your opinion of Death the Stranding. Stranding of the Death.
I about pooped my pants last year or the year before last when I first saw the first trailer for this game, and I got so excited. I said, that's it. I'm playing this game. I'm buying it full price. I don't care. So I did just that. Hideo Kojima, this is their first thing, this first game since they stopped doing the other studio, right? This is the first thing he's done, and he's trying to create something called Strand Gaming. I'm like, all right.
Well, it's just UPS Delivery Service Gaming. That's what it's
right. It's a new, and basically that's what, if you haven't seen the game, I don't want to over-explain the game because you've probably seen a million bits and pieces from this game. Death Stranding is essentially what some people call a walking simulator. Mm. Those are bitter people. I don't consider a walking simulator any more than I consider, I don't know, Pac-Man a dot-eating simulator. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. First of all, there's Norman Reedus. You may have seen him in that Walking Dead series and a couple other shows, but I think he does a fantastic job. I love how the characters look like the people. Lindsay Wagner is here. Wasn't she that bionic woman?
Yeah.
Remember her?
Yeah, these are all, these people are mo-capped into the game. Yeah.
They're mocap and they're in there, and it is good, slow storytelling, just like you would expect from Hideo Kojima. There's a lot of backstory when you first start, and there's a lot of information, and I don't want to give away too much. I'm trying to figure out how to tell you about the story without giving away too much, but I will tell you this. In the trailer, they say he is Sam Porter Bridges, and he is trying to reconnect the United States, and he's going to do that by carrying products and items in crates and boxes on his back like a mule and jogging all over the place, going up and down mountains. And you may think, I don't really want to, like, you know, be the postman of video games. I don't want to do that. But it's actually a lot of fun trying to find this balance. And you may not like this part of it, Scott. I know you're not much of a survival game kind of a thing, and this is not really a survival game, but it is about managing your energy as a person. And
not my favorite idea.
It's not your favorite idea. I actually like it. I like it a lot, but that's what you're doing in this game a lot. You're trying to manage how much energy your character has and keep it efficient in trying to get from one destination to the next.
I mean, I should say that I really, really like his brand of crazy, so I'm super into his stories and his storytelling methods and the weirdness that is a Kojima game. But what I've always liked about Metal Gear Solid is just under the weird, there was always a really, pardon the pun, solid game to play.
Yes.
This, to me, seems like a lot of fetch quests and weird stuff to do in between the psycho storytelling, which is what I come to a Kojima game for.
Right. You absolutely do come for it. He mixes it up a lot because you're not just doing the walking simulation. You're also trying to avoid being. Okay, so there's Timefall. Have you heard about Timefall? You know what that is?
No.
So essentially, it's a side effect of what's going on. And it is rain that essentially fast forwards time. So anything this rain touches fast forwards time and will degrade the products you're trying to carry. Okay. So you're trying to avoid areas where that happens. Plus, when that is happening, also there is there are souls there, or not necessarily souls, but they're what are they called? They're not called. They're called not bridge things. What are they called? I forget. They're called BTs. Anyway,
BT. Oh, is it the babies? The little babies?
No. Those are called BBs. Those are bridge babies. And the bridge babies are awesome. And is one of the things is the cheap emotional trick that I love. I love to death. It's a cheap emotional trick to put this baby in this pack that she used to carry. He's kind of like in this this embryonic fluid bag that you carry around, and he helps you with his ability to bridge between two worlds, essentially. And he is able to help you deal with these BTs that are trying to pull you down. They are like lost souls trying to just suck you down. It gets more deep than that, but that's how I'm going to describe it.
Butt ticklers. A little bit of, I'm going to call them a butt. What's that now? BT stands for butt tickler.
Butt ticklers.
Yeah.
No, it's, what is it? It's like bridge things. Butt things. It's not butt things.
Boner tropes.
Why can I remember? What's that?
Being Trosby.
Oh, it's beast. It's beast things.
Beast things. Really? Is that it?
Beast things. Yeah, that's part of the story. I probably shouldn't have told you that. Free Rangers. Free Rangers picked it up there too.
Yes, look at these poor birds just dying here at the beginning.
Yeah, that's because they're getting hit. This is the timefall. So the timefall, this is right in the front, first of the game, where Norman Reedus is kind of scooting along in his bike. By the way, there's a lot of walking, but eventually you get some to ride some vehicles too.
Well, how come Norman Reedus isn't getting wet and having a problem with his
that's
life?
Well, that's revealed really early on in the show too. Okay. That's one of the things. That's one of his abilities. He has this ability. He has what's called dooms, and he has this ability to not be affected by it like other people are. So that's the reason why he's able to. That's the reason why he's got to save the U.S.
So he's resistant to these. He's resistant
to certain things. Correct. Okay. Correct. Right. Like I said, I don't want to give away too much of the story because the story is a lot of fun as it unfolds very slowly, very slowly, a real slow burn, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But like I said, I get so caught up in the story, and none of the runs so far, the walking simulation, I've played maybe 20 hours or so. None of the walking simulation to me has gotten monotonous. It doesn't bother me because it seems like the walks are pretty fast and there's usually something that happens along the way. Usually it's not just, I've been running for 2 hours trying to get here. Usually something happens and upsets the balance, and it's kind of like little mini game kind of there within, and there's usually lots of goals going on that you have to accomplish. It's very task oriented, like you had mentioned earlier in the review of this game. So personally, I think it's great. It may be my game of the year, and some people are going to be really mad about that because it's like, it sucks, it's a walking simulator, and it's only getting like an 80, like, you know, like in the 80s or B scores for most places, because I think the people who hate it really hate it.
Yeah, people really hate it. Video games today are you go very tribal and you go one hard way or the other. But this does seem to have a real mix of both critical and user reviews across the board. People are either really blown away by it or not so much. And that's interesting because I thought it was going to be controversial when I first saw the thing even have its first trailer. I went, well, here's one of those we're all going to be talking about like crazy, and it will become a huge deal whether you play it or not, even because people are going to want to discuss this thing.
Right.
Which is happening. By the way, quick shout. I got to give a fast shout out to Aria, who's watching us right now. She's tiny and she's cute, and her dad and her are watching us do this live. So I just wanted to give her a quick shout out. She looks
like Aria.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Brian. You were saying.
Death Stranding, like I said, it's probably going to be, don't be surprised if I call this, unless I get really frustrated, if I call this my game of the year. And like I said, it's probably going to make some people a little bit like, that's stupid, Brian.
Right.
But I think there's things here that make it stand out that it almost really does feel like a really special, unique game that just stands out. And I don't think it stands out in the way, Hideo wants it to, because what he wants to do is, like I said, create this new genre called Stranding or Strand. Yeah. So Strand gaming. So essentially what it is.
What does he mean by that? Maybe you can explain that because I don't get it when he says that.
So the idea is this, the most efficient paths for you to get from one location to the next can be improved, because when you first play, as other players play, they can mark things along the paths and they can leave things like ladders and other things that will help you get through the certain areas. So in the beginning, when this game first launched, there was no markings anywhere. You know, there's no fast pass, you know, to get to one place to the next. But as more and more people play, they find more efficient ways to traverse the terrain. And as they do, they're marking them or leaving products at portals that you can come and pick up items to help you on your way. So it's kind of a shared community way of making the task simpler, maybe, or kind of working together.
Mm-hmm.
So each strand, each individual is kind of like a strand in the game, this building, this bridge that is kind of, does that kind of make sense?
That's, it does,
kind
of what it totally makes
I'm
sense.
Understanding from the strand.
Yeah. Now, real quick, before we get too much beyond this, I want to mention that the game is a little cornball in some places.
Yes, very cornball.
And so I want to play a line that I heard. Somebody sent this to me. This was actually said in the game. This is Norman Reedus talking to the Bionic Woman. And yes. I'm going to play this exchange just real quick. See if you can get the reference, everybody. Listen closely. It's real dumb.
But we did know one thing you did care about. Something you were willing to cross a continent for.
Yeah.
A reason to build the UCA. It was Die Hard Man's idea.
Die Hard Man.
Mm-hmm. The names are weird.
Yeah.
So I'm Mario and you're Princess Peach.
Now listen to this.
Are you right? I never gave a shit about this country. I have no ties to anything or anyone but you.
I'm so sorry, Sam. But it all worked out in the end.
Can we skip ahead a little?
Let's go.
Here she goes.
How do we do it? Do we jump like Fragile?
No. The beach goes the whole way. We run together.
Run?
Yeah. Like Mario and Princess Beach.
Like Princess Beach.
Princess Beach. It is, there's some parts that are just, they are mood breaking. The one of the things I love about this game.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The one thing I love about Death Stranding, it is one of the most emotional experiences in a game that I've had since probably the last God of War game. It emotionally resonates, but then you get stuff like that and you go, oh my god. But then you realize also that it's a very Japanese way of storytelling that is westernized.
Hajima is a kind of, he's pretty nutty even by those standards, so he likes to take us places that are just like completely out of weird town, you know.
I love it. Now, the chat room, I just saw it. The Wraith86, who, by the way, is great for tips and stuff, wants to know, couldn't they just use drones for delivery? Why in this future world would we still need people? And that's explained in the story. There's kind of a rebellion against technology. Even though there's still technology in place, there's a rebellion at some point in time, and that's kind of where this dystopian future kind of comes from. So.
Okay,
it's a really interesting concept.
And isn't there like there's commentary on like commercialism and oversaturation of corporations and that sort of thing too, right? Like you're gonna get a little bit of that.
I would love to sit down and have a real long discussion if you ever play this about all the story elements, because the story elements are just it's stupid in some ways, in other ways it's like I have never seen anything close to this in a video game.
I think what I'm legit gonna do is sit down. And I'm going to watch, somebody's going to take all the cutscenes and all of the story bits, and they're going to make one big montage of it all and cut out all the gameplay. And I think that's what I'm going to do.
Still be really long.
Yeah, it's fine with me. I like that stuff. That's why I come to his games. Right. I just don't, what he's doing in between those moments isn't interesting to me. I just cannot get excited about it. But what happens in those peak story moments, for all the cheese and the cringe and the weird, I'm all in on that. I want that in my life. So I'm going to do that. And you and I can have a longer conversation.
I can't recommend it enough. I think Death Stranding is a great game. However, if I were you, and this is what I did, I knew Hideo Kojima. I'm like, okay, I'm not 100% sure this game is not going to be, you know, Princess Beach is what I was afraid of where I got it. So I was lucky enough to have it in the red box. I picked it up for 3 days for $7, played it the first night I knew. I'm like, might as well take this rental disc back because I'm getting the full version.
Yeah.
But I would recommend if you have the opportunity just to, and you're like near a red box and you just, you know, it's in there, just freaking pick it up. See if the gameplay is for you, because if you don't like the gameplay, you're not going to have fun.
How much shirtless Reedus do I get? A lot of shirtless Reedus?
Not a lot. I actually like how he... the only reason why he's shirtless in some of the scenes you're showing is because it's important to the story. I don't know if you can quite see in that, but he's got hands on his body. And by the way, those larvae that are floating around, those are delicious.
Oh, they eat them?
Well, she does.
Why are they floating around?
There's a lot of floaty stuff. All the characters look like they're constantly floating in water, and that's intentional.
Ugh, that was a gross shot of her eating that.
Right. Oh, it's so yummy.
Look at her. Man, what a treat this is to find a floating grub in the air.
but I'll tell you, it can be very frustrating, though. You know, you'll have a game that's got physics that on paper sound like they should be really, you know, work out really well, but you're working with such a terrain that sometimes you will get stuck in certain areas to the point of frustration until you kind of learn how to not get frustrated and just kind of backtrack a little bit and go forward. But I've watched video of people who will be determined that the straight path is the fastest path, and they'll get into a certain area and they'll refuse to backtrack. And they'll just, you know, freaking spaz out. Mm. And I'm like, that's kind of intentional, and it's kind of frustrating. I kind of wish that it wasn't there, but I kind of understand why it is.
Okay, why are umbrellas
all funky-delic? Yeah. It's supposed to, it looks like Elon Musk designed it, you mean?
Yeah, why is that?
Yeah.
What is the deal?
I have not apparently gotten to that story point in Death Stranding. I asked the same thing. I'm like, what's that all about?
Yeah, that's funky. Is this a girl he ends up with? I don't want any spoilers, I guess. Is she a lady friend here? Or what's
she
her
She is
deal?
Just a lady. She's just, well, actually, earlier he like runs into her. You never really, you kind of have to question. I haven't gotten to a point that I understand exactly who she is. I got an idea of who she is, but I don't know if she's going to come in play again later on. Like I said, I'm only about, I guess, about maybe halfway through.
And you like that? You like that Mads Mikkelsen feller, don't you? He's cool.
Yeah,
we like that guy. He's freaky.
Oh, I love that guy.
All right. Well, Death Stranding, Brian's game of the year, unless something drastic happens.
Unless something is getting, time's running out, man.
Yeah, time is running out. Currently, I'm not playing this, obviously, so maybe I would agree. But currently, I'm still holding The Outer Worlds, rather, number one.
That was the debate I had, because I had the same thing. I'm like, it's either going to be Outer Worlds or Death Stranding. And sometimes the last game you play holds a little more weight because it's the last game you played. And I tried to go back and see what really separated the two for me. And I just got to say, even though the Outer Worlds is an amazing, solid game that is just is super solid, great gameplay, so much fun, but at the end of the day, I feel like I've kind of played it before, because I kind of have, even though it's a great world to visit and it's amazing game.
I get you.
But like I said, I like to think that something really has to stand out and almost be something that changes.
This is pretty wackadoo, I'll give you that. Like, if you're looking for the unique thing of the year, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's pretentious or not, like whatever, you have to at least admit that dude makes what he wants to make.
He did it.
And y'all play it, and there you have it. Someone in the chat says, Red Dead Redemption 2. Well, that came out in 2018. You can't count it.
Yeah, the PC version came out in 2019, so technically I guess you could do it on that.
I could say PC game of the year, sure. But I would. I love Red Dead 2. I love it.
Yeah,
R2-D2. Yeah.
As everyone sees it when they first read it.
I know, it's annoying. But I don't think you can count it, because it's been out a year on another platform. Right. So same as like when GTA 5 came out in 2012 on existing consoles at the time were 360 and PlayStation 3, and then it hit PC like what, 2 years later.
Right.
I would have called it Game of the Year that year for me, except it wasn't new. So there you go.
Right.
All right. I'm now going to go back in time, Brian, and talk about something old made new again. You may have heard of a little game all the way back in the late 90s called Age of Empires 2. Remember that game?
What?
Big fan.
Do I remember it? I lived it.
You lived it. You loved it. You were like me. You were a big fan. I remember you and I have talked about this game for, feels like years, actually.
Yeah.
I
visit it every once in a while, but not the definitive edition.
Yeah. So the first game, I don't think the second one had the Lululu guy, but the first one definitely did.
Yeah,
and did. Every time you had a priest, he would go, hululu, hululu.
And then people would change like, no, stop stealing my dudes.
Basically, yeah, he could convert your guys. Age of Empires really did reveal itself to be the other RTS at the time that wasn't Command and Conquer and wasn't Warcraft or Starcraft. And it set itself apart being very historically accurate, you know, basically. It was a sequel to an already very successful game, but they really nailed it. They had tons of civilizations, they had random map stuff, they had all kinds of great skirmish modes, great campaign. Like, it was really ahead of its time. A lot of developers that worked on that game went on to make stuff we all love now, like for a long time, one of the heads over there when they were making 2 was Greg Street, who went on to work at Blizzard and is now at Riot Games. And you know, there's people who cut their teeth there at Ensemble Studios back in those days. And always been highly thought of. 3 was an attempt to take it into the 3D world. It didn't work out so well. I think
less successful.
I think RTSs have come a long way since then, and 4 is looking very cool. It looks like it might actually nail it and be a confluence of gameplay, modern tech, and kind of
the more modern Age of Empires looks, the less interested I am every time.
Right.
I just don't, because story really was never really compelling.
No,
right?
No.
In none of the visuals,
they're just like
really
historic. They're like historic moments. They tried to recreate them. So it's like, oh, remember when freaking Napoleon came over the hill and poked that guy in the eye? Well, that's what we're gonna do now. And it was that sort of thing.
Less is more in this case, right?
Yeah, less is more. More is less. Anyway, it is. This is 2 remastered. They call it the definitive edition, and I thought that meant just, oh, it'll be in 4K and widescreen. It's a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. There are like real water effects in it. It's got better terrain. The characters have more frames of animation.
Do you know how I usually won in Age of Empires 2?
Mm.
I usually won because all my friends were still like in Age of Empires 1, and then they would get into 2, and I would like make these fleets.
Yeah.
It's all about the boats.
Yeah.
It was always about the boats for me, and I just, they'd be all over there building their little stuff, and I'd like show up on the shores. Ah, here I am.
Yeah,
and
boats
come flying in. Burr, burr,
burr. Well, see, that's why when I would play Friends, I would always do a archipelago kind of land mass, so that you couldn't sneak up on an island and just take everybody out with their boats. I hated that, but it was an interesting strategy. But I did a lot of versus AI gigantic games, just like huge epic turtle up, make big civilizations. Like, I was almost more interested in building my cities than I was defending them or fighting anyone else.
How many times did you curse when you first started playing, though? Because I used to turn the AI on. I'm like, okay, we're just going to make the AI here. And I'm like, okay, hard. I can do hard. No problem. I'll do that.
Yep.
Next thing I know, I'm sitting there picking berries, and they show up with, like, you know, horses and whatever. What was 2? But, you know, it was like, it would always just, like, overwhelm me. I'm like, how the crap do they resource so fast?
Yep. This is all true. Yes, I had similar experiences, but I absolutely loved it. I just loved it as an experience. I thought it was one of the great RTSs. The office I worked out at the time, we were going nuts with this game.
Right.
We played it a ton. It was a race to go from, you know, caveman, or, well, actually, it didn't start caveman. That was the first game. This started like, I can't remember.
Peasant.
But they were peasants, I can't remember what the age was. Bronze age, maybe? No, it was
not bronze. It was still wood, right? It was whatever.
Yeah, it was wooden stuff, but it wasn't quite stone age. It was something else.
Yeah, it wasn't quite stick age. It was something, you're right.
Stick age. You know, the famous stick age.
We have sticks!
We will destroy our enemies with these sticks we found. Anyway, it's cool. It's a really nice package, and it is lucratively available if you have Game Pass, because if you have Game Pass on PC, this thing is part of it. So you just get it.
Yeah, I'm totally excited. No, one thing you won't find though here is, did you have your own server or anything like that? Did you ever?
I never ran my own server because at the time I thought 2 was dependent on that MSN play thing. But didn't it require that? Or I can't remember what the deal was back then.
I can't remember, but I do remember that near the end of his life, when we had all just, we would get together, you know, we would have big, massive LAN games, and we would have pizza. My camera's off. And and so we'd have big, massive LAN games. And is it back on yet?
I don't know. I'll keep watching.
Anyway, we found that you could cheat. You could put all these modifications, not really cheating, but you could put these modifications in where you could have like a kit from Knight Rider.
Oh yeah, you could edit the INI files and like put whatever stuff you wanted in there. That's true.
Right. Yep. And then that's when I first started having access to other people's data files and stuff, and you would change their audio files and secretly put it on their PC so it would make some stupid noise.
Yeah.
Right when they're trying to play. That's why I think that was like 5 seconds before I started doing Quake modifications, doing that kind of stuff.
All right. Yeah, no, same. It was like that era of everybody's hacking everything and coming up with wacky crap. And I remember Knight Rider or Kit being in the game. For some reason, I have memory of that. It was a very cool time for RTS, as kind of maybe the peak of it for me anyway, because I was playing this, Brood War, still playing a the one I said earlier. I just forgot the name. Oh, Command & Conquer. Although they were getting weird. They were in like the game was starting to get bad. But this thing was just at its peak. It's never seen anything quite like 2. And so they re-released it. And I think it's like $29. It's kind of expensive for such an old game. Yeah. So you might go, oh, I don't know, that needs to be cheaper. But if you go look at it, go watch some video and stuff, it's vastly improved. It looks really good. It's still two-dimensional sprites everywhere and all that stuff's still true, but it looks amazing. Buildings blow up in really awesome ways, and that's not so true of the original. Like, this is a gigantic improvement over the original, and I think it's rad.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would pay money for that.
Can we play online? Can we play against each other?
Yes, this has full multiplayer, full support for all that stuff, yes, 100%.
Well, then we'll have to order some pizza and sit down.
Oh, I would love to play.
And tear you apart!
I like the Turks. I'm a big fan of the Turks.
Oh, yeah, the Turks are good. Yeah, they like the Turks.
Yeah, I get the Turks going, and then there's no stopping me.
No stopping.
Gotta roll. I forgot, they added like 5 or 6 new civilizations for this launch.
Really?
Yeah. The Bavarians, Bolivians, maybe Bavarians and Bolivians or maybe I'm thinking the Bolivians or not Bolivians. Yeah. Bolivians. Then there was 2 or 3 other races. I forget what they were, but they definitely added more.
Until they put dinosaurs in it, you ain't got me.
Then you're out.
I'm out.
Until Age of Empires puts dinosaurs in their game, Brian is not interested.
I need to start in the Jurassic period for my Age of Empires, when the T-Rex was...
So someone in the chat says all the Bolivians harvest cocaine in the game. They get the cocaine going.
True story.
Also, let's see. Sidian's right. Tiberian Sun was the last tolerable one. I agree. That was pretty good, but not great. Mm-hmm. Red Alert 2 was amazing. That's more recent, though. But I would not. Luke Skywalker in the chat says all Command & Conquer games are good. No, they're not.
Yeah.
There is a few there. There is a run there where things get rough, dude. You have forgotten how bad that got. But look at that. Look at that windmill here. Look at this windmill. I know this is a small detail, but that windmill in the old game didn't turn like that. It was chop, chop, chop. That thing's like a fully rendered out new thing. I mean, it feels like they went in there and just like blew that engine out. It's very cool.
Right.
So I'm going to spend some time in there. I kind of, you know, one of the things I love to do is you get an AI dude and you put him on the lowest,
farm
just the worst possible level of crappy AI. And you give yourself lots of opportunities for money and stuff and give him nothing. And then you just go play Civilization, basically. You just build rad cities and castles and keeps and towns, and then you got big walls covering everything. And then if you want, you can go out and destroy that guy. But I love just building stuff.
It is very satisfactory to give it that edge. Usually giving yourself and making it easy against your opponent kind of takes away. But I'm with you with Age of Empires. It's fine.
It's fun, it's fine. Right? Almost turn off. That.
Yeah,
I agree. Anyway, there it is. Age of Empires 2, the, what did I call it, edition? Definitive edition. There it is. Let the memories come flooding back. Brian, tell me about Stadia and what you've played on it. Because you got one.
Yes,
we've been saving the best, or is it the worst for last? Right.
It's going to be the best okay review you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Stadia.
Yeah.
It worked for me.
It's like Stadia. It's okay.
It's all right. So, okay, not to give too much away here. Stadia Founders Edition, I joined. I said, yeah, I want to be involved with this crazy thing that Google is trying, which is basically offloading gaming hardware onto a server. Nothing really totally new, but Google has the backbone and structure to make this a reality in a very smooth way. And for me, my personal experience, it was smooth, no problems or very few problems for the launch. However, I know that was not necessarily the norm for people out there. I heard a lot of people very angry. And one of the reasons why is because what they're doing is something that is going to vary upon your access.
Even the even the most positive things said have been warnings of, you know, I had a great experience. I did this, I did that. But this thing, this still is just not ready for prime time. Like there's issues, there's problems, there's lag, but there's also some business questions. Do you really want to pay monthly for a thing that you also still have to buy the games for? And without
and
that.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
When Stadia launches proper, there's going to be no monthly fee unless you want some of the perks. So that's the question.
You still got to buy the games. That's the important thing to know.
You still got to buy the games no matter what. Okay, so if you have Steam, you still have to buy the games. Any service, you're going to have to buy the games.
Right.
So the question is, what is, you know, Steam, all they're really doing is delivering your items to you, so they don't have to charge a monthly service fee because they make their money off, you know, selling other games, and they take a cut, right? That's what they
eventually
do.
Yes. Right now, there's no free tier, but yes, next year, there's supposed to be a free tier. That is correct.
Right. Come out for Steam.
Oh, sorry, Steam, yes. Yeah. You buy a game.
Yeah, I'm talking about Steam. Steam.
Right.
You buy a Steam.
The difference there is you put it on your hard drive, and you are not dependent, unless it's a multiplayer game with online features, you are not dependent on bandwidth
speeds. We know how Steam makes their money, right?
Right, we know what they do.
Right. So the question always with Google is, how are you making your money, Google? Because if you're not making money, then the common term is, you know, then I am the product. You know, if you're not really selling a product, then I'm the product. And that's kind of the idea that's kind of iffy for me, because I'm like, I don't know. I don't mind paying $10 a month to offload my server, to offload my gaming hardware onto a server and basically rent, you know, processes, because what you're doing, you're renting, you know, the processing power of a server remotely so that you can offload all that stuff.
And the free tier will have it'll be 1080p 60 is the plan,
right?
Which is pretty strong. It's good.
That's not bad. It's not bad. And so if you can get it right, so I mean, if you're like me, I just recently this year where I live, I've actually got the bandwidth to do the things that I want to do, but I know that's not everywhere. I don't live in exactly really small town, but I live in a smallish town, and I'm sure there's plenty of places where people are going, ooh, I want to play Stadia, but there's really not going to be nothing there because the business plan, it sounds like the greatest benefit for this is to be able to play on a crappy laptop, right? Because like you can play on, since everything is offloaded elsewhere on Stadia, on the Stadia service, you can play like on a Chromebook.
The whole idea is any device,
any
anywhere.
Chrome browser.
Yeah. Any Chrome browser, but eventually any device, any OS, and even those that don't have Chrome, like you should in theory, there'll be iOS apps, there'll be Android apps, there'll be the ability for people to play these on their iPads, on their Amazon Fire tablets, on, you know, every screen.
Right, on every screen. And I'm telling you, the app's probably going to be, you know, a Chromium browser of some sort.
Probably.
Let's not fool ourselves. So So to get this, the Founders Edition, there's a lot of confusion on this. So a lot of people are going, this doesn't make any sense that Stadia is selling me, you know, Google is selling me a controller and a little 4K Chromecast dongle and charging me money. And I've got to buy full games. That doesn't sound right, because I can go get, you know, right now for Black Friday, you can get an Xbox One S for like $150. You know, and the Xbox Game Pass is a great deal. So how do I compare, you know, apples to apples? Well, you really can't, because this is not really something that you have to have, other than this artificial thing they've done where they said, oh, if you want to play early, if you want to be a founder, we will sell you this kind of cool controller. I don't know if you can see it, but this is the kind of cool controller here that I think is okay. Just like the service is okay, the controller is okay. But you don't have to buy that eventually, right? It's going to be free.
Right.
That's all the stuff's going to be free, except for the games, of course.
Except for the games. Yeah. There are going to be a couple of free games. Destiny right now is free. So you play Destiny, they got to deal with them. And also, what's the other game?
Samurai Showdown, I believe.
Oh, Samurai Showdown is the other third party one that you can get for free. Right. And then there's another one that they made. It's an original, or they paid to have it made. What's it called?
Right. I don't know. That's the only two I saw in the store when I registered.
I think it's Guilt. But it's spelled like
G-Y. Yeah, but no, that cost money.
Oh,
I think.
I thought that was free. I thought that was a free.
No, I think that's $20, and that's another question. How much of the game is going to be on this store compared to all these other really?
Well, we already know that, because if you go buy Red Dead, you're paying $59.99. You're paying the same price you're going to pay everywhere else. If you play Metro Exodus, you're going to pay $59 or $49, whatever it is.
Well, actually, you're watching the Metro Exodus right now, which is not anyone playing it on Stadia as far as I know, or it may be, but I played this game. I picked it up because I did play the Destiny 2 on the Stadia.
This is PS4 Pro, by the way, just for the record.
Is it PS4 Pro?
Yeah,
okay,
that's where they're playing it.
This is a game that I picked up for $20. So it's free. Is it on the Xbox Game Pass right now? I think
it is, actually.
It's part of the service right now. So. Yep. What's the great benefit of me getting this one? Well, I just wanted to try something else besides Destiny 2, because the first night I played Destiny 2 on the Stadia, it ran great. It's just like playing local for me. Once again, exception to the rule, probably. I got a really good connection. I've got my, I'm plugged in through a network cable. I'm not playing this through wireless, which you can do, but not as good experience. The controller is connected through your Wi-Fi. I didn't really see much lag anywhere.
Well, I'm now watching, so the video I'm showing now is a Stadia playthrough.
Right.
What's happening is what I expected, and I think this is going to be true of xCloud or anyone else who does this.
Yes.
You're going to get artifacting, especially in dark games. Mm-hmm. That's because at the end of the day, this is video being sent to you. It's interactive video, but it's still video.
And it's 1080 video, right?
Right. Well, the 4K for you could do up to 4K on what you're doing.
Yeah, if you have the bandwidth. I could do up to 4K.
Right. If you've got the right bandwidth for it and caps and all that stuff. But as you can see, this looks good. It's artifacty though. I can see it in the corners especially. Right. I'm seeing if there's a lot of quick movement. Like one of the things I heard is if you play the Red Dead Redemption 2 version of the game or the Stadia version of that game, the whole beginning where you're going through a massive snowstorm looks like trash.
Nah.
Because think about what you've got. All those little particles going. It's like tailor-made for a bad experience with video streaming technology, which is what we're talking about here.
I think this guy's footage is probably misleading, because mine had no artifacting at all.
It has to have some.
What? I'm not saying that it wasn't there. I'm saying on my 40-inch 1080 monitor TV thing that I have my 4K hooked up to, my Chromecast, I didn't see any of this. Mine looked way better than this. Matter of fact, if you go to my Twitch channel, I actually have some video that probably looks at least looks a lot better than this.
Hmm.
So I didn't see this at all. I was worried about this too. I was worried there would be a washing out because of the compression. I was worried that there would be a lot of pixelation. None of that from what I'm watching local. I think this is probably going to mostly be this person's experience and then their rebroadcast.
Well, and this is the other problem, is that everybody, like, sounds like you had an excellent experience. Everybody's reporting different levels, and that's a bummer. Like, the platform needs to be consistent as possible. But maybe they're not even talking to us. This is for everybody who wants to just say, I don't want to buy a $500 console. I just want to play these cool games. Well, then here you go. There's a little bit of latency. There's possible artifacting. Right. There's other things that may get in the way. But guess what? You didn't buy a console. So all you had to do is buy this $49 game or whatever it is, and you're set. Right. And maybe that's enough. Like, maybe that's enough for that group.
It is. And see, that's the question. Where is this group at? Who is this group? It is such a... It is so faceted, it's hard to imagine that it's going to be satisfactory to a large enough people to really, you know, rival anything. But then I guess that's the next question. Is Google, what is Google's end game with this? What is really their plan? I don't think it's to take over the market, because they didn't really come out really splashy with this. They kind of came out and said, hey, here's Stadia, and it's, you know, it's...
Here's what they're going to do. They're going to cancel it in 4 years.
No, well, that's what we all worry about.
Everyone says that's
my biggest slowdown for this platform. And the thing that I think, if everybody else thinks like me, they're in big trouble, because it took me years to feel comfortable with buying games on Steam, because we used to have the discussion all the time.
Yeah.
What happens if Steam disappears?
Right.
What happens if I have $1,000 worth of video games on the Steam platform and then they disappear? $1,000 worth of games. That's not as many as you think.
Well, it's actually, we actually have an answer to that now, a little bit. We didn't know this at the time, but now if something like that were to happen, we'll keep using Steam as the example. In a lot of cases, not all, but in some cases, the way that would work is the people who made the game, the publishers that made the deal with Steam in the first place, would be able to give you access to the game,
possibly some other service,
service or not, maybe even just have it standalone on your hard drive. Like, there are a lot of ways you could do it now. I could see a way out of that hole. I can't see it here, because this is like taking the console out of your house and and then turning it off and saying, oh, sorry, you can't play anymore. So that $59.99 I spent on Red Dead, where is that now? Do I own it now? Do I still, what is it now? Do I still own that game? At least with digital downloads, and services like Steam, or Game Pass for that matter, you have a sense of some permanence. And part of that is there's longevity with these companies that have been around forever. Steam has, you know, Valve has shown that they can do this and hold the line for a very long time. And that Microsoft's a big company with deep pockets and not going anywhere anytime soon. Also, I bet xCloud will not just be, hey, stream games. I think they're going to be, you bought a game, you can play it on the hard drive or on the go or streamed only or by the disc. And then all three of those things are possible because you own the license to it. Like, I think that's going to be their value proposition. And if it is, that's a way better value proposition than this. And they have the wherewithal to have this, the same or better behind the scenes stuff. And it's funny because I don't even have an Xbox this generation. I think this whole last generation was a screw up by Microsoft, but they are poised to do this the best if they are going to do it at all.
Yeah.
So, and
I really think that really the only angle here is people picking up their AAA titles and then playing them anywhere they want as they go throughout the day. So this may not be for me and you, where we can have, you know, we have access time where we can just sit and we focus on video games really hard. But, you know, if I'm a young up and comer, you know, and I've got a really fast paced lifestyle. I know I'm at home, I'm playing this new hot game. Then I want to, you know, I got to get in the mass transit. You know, I just pull up my, you know, my whatever small device I have and just keep on playing right there with that AAA title. That is an amazing idea.
I love this demographic you're describing, though. I'm trying to figure out who this is.
I know maybe it's there.
I don't know either. I don't know either. I mean, you're not wrong. Like, people would love, but here's what I would love the most: if they said, thank you for the $60, play the game now. Okay, how do you want to play it? Well, I guess I'll stream it on my phone, or I'll stream it on my TV, or I'll stream it, or actually I want to download it locally and play it off this PC. Okay, cool, you can do that too. Oh, well, what I'd really like to do is put it on this tablet. Okay, do that, you can do that. Like, that's what I want. I want those kinds of options, especially during this period of transition where the internet, especially in this country, is not the same as a lot of the subsidized stuff that happens in South Korea or Sweden or places where they have amazing bandwidth as a standard option no matter where you go. Mm-hmm. We don't have that here. It's all over the place. No. And so we're going to have an awkward puberty moment.
Oh, absolutely. See, that's the thing. We're so close to it. I mean, we've been promised that we've been promised this idea, this cloud gaming for, you know, quite a while now. And we're finally at a place where it's really close. And we just all want to just reach out and just grab it. Right. And it's just, but I've been satisfied. I think the biggest thing that I was concerned about, that this was going to be an absolute flop. It ended up being an okay. An okay may be good enough for Stadia. I think it may be good enough for it to hang on and may be good enough to go forward for a while. And I'm feeling a little more comfortable about buying the games as I go along. I don't know if I'm ready to drop the $60 video game, but I'm certainly purchasing, you know, the $20 games on sale.
Yeah, that would make sense. I do that now on phones and, you know,
right.
I'd Switch. I always check the Switch store. They got some weird janky $8 game. I'm like, what is this? And I'll download it because, you know, why not? Let's just try it. So
man,
there's
can make so much more money off me $20 at a time than you can at $60 and $70.
Oh, heck yeah, dude. And you and I are those kind of gamers, though. We're looking for those smaller experiences that are not just because they're more affordable. Sometimes they're just they're innovative and different, and it's three or four guys on a team and not some AAA thing that we have to spend, you know, 80 hours on. Sometimes it's a thing we can spend a few hours on and then talk about it and feel good about our $15 investment. So part of me thinks that what will make this service shine is if they delve into that more, or at the very least, like if they're going to have a paid tier, which they still plan to do.
Right.
Those paid tiers, including a ton more games that are just part of the service, like Game Passes or anything else, that would go a long way to get Stadia in more houses, I think.
Yeah. And I think the thing that works, the thing that was the most successful to me with this experience was there was a few times I forgot I was even playing the Stadia.
Yeah,
I was
good.
Just totally focused. I was totally focused on the game.
So how is Exodus? You like it? It's fun.
So Metro Exodus is really good. I was kind of surprised. I had this. I've only played just a few minutes of Metro series over the years, and I've really always wanted to get into it. It's been like, oh, it's always got such good reviews, and I really want to kind of get into it. So I got into Exodus, and the story starts out really scary. Yeah. A lot of jump scares. I was like, I don't remember this being marketed as something that was going to be making me jump so much, but man.
Mm-hmm. They get you right in the butt.
It does. Have you played this yet?
No. I have it on Game Pass. I intend to play it.
Totally get it and play it all.
Played the last one a lot. Twice, right. I think. I played that game. I loved it. Here's the thing, though. What was I going to say? Mm. Did you ever... Oh, do you remember... So back in the day, they made a game before these Metro games called... Oh, they were Russian developers.
Oh, I was talking about. What was it?
It's not Striker. It's like
no,
whatever it is. It's like an irradiated Russia.
Yes. Oh, what was it called? I had like all of them because
Stalker. Stalker. That's it.
Stalker. That's it. They were giving it away at one
that
point.
That game
in time,
was weird, man. What a weird effing game. Yeah, but yeah, I could see you see the genesis of those into these Metro games, and it's very good. Unless I've got it wrong, who it is? I think it's the same developers. I could be wrong. Anyway, all right. Well, there you go. Stadia at a glance. Certainly, as Brian plays more games on it, perhaps those will be games.
And right now, it's going to be kind of limited. 22 games at release. We've got some. Most of these titles are, I think, intentionally picked because they're not necessarily Twitch shooters. They're not really fast. I mean, Destiny 2 is kind of twitchy, but not really.
Right.
I mean, come on, it's kind of.
There you go.
Slow. Metro Exodus got a lot of in between time. So, but Doom this next year coming out, so that may be a little faster. And we'll have to see how those kind of...
That's a very twitchy shooter. Yeah, and there is latency, no matter how you look at it. There is measurable latency. Whether you care or not is a different issue. But
And
you know,
I wasn't seeing it in the games I was playing, but because I wasn't really needing it necessarily, I didn't need it to be like, oh my God, super fast, instantaneous. I just needed it to be fast enough.
Well, I've heard some people say if you're playing a PlayStation 4 with the controllers in Bluetooth mode, not wired, you're experiencing about the same amount of lag there that you might with Stadia.
Right.
And that, you know, if people are worried about Twitch shooting and being 100% on, you're always wired with everything anyway, including internet.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's an interesting...
If you're that concerned about that kind of stuff, Stadia's probably not for you. And I don't think it'll ever... Those things will probably never do well on this platform for a while at least.
Well, you know Fortnite will be on there. It'd be fun to see how that goes. And of course, you know,
I don't know. Would I put Fortnite? I wouldn't put Fortnite.
Well, might not, like, but I know people who would. You wouldn't want to put it on phones either, but yet people do.
But they did, didn't they? True story. Yeah.
They make a crap crap load of money on that platform. Most of their money, I think, is still made on phones.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, quick note that we a couple of things we did. I've been playing a lot more Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm loving that game. It's great. PC version's amazing. I love it. And mostly that and ESO. I haven't had time for much else that's new. But you spent some time in Luigi's Mansion with Drew, and I would love to know how that went. How'd that go?
Drew's my oldest son. He's 21, and he stopped by before he went to Disney World, and we plopped down on the couch because I had been playing Luigi's Mansion 3 solo, but there was some cooperative parts that you could play because you could play as Luigi and then the other person could play as Gooigi.
Wait a minute, you tell me Han Solo? Oh, Solo played it. Not Han Solo's in Luigi's Mansion 3.
No.
Oh,
I soloed it myself individual. So we got together and we played it, and it was actually harder because I don't have two controllers, so I had to split my little controller up, and I had to use the little small bits and trying to steer Luigi and do the ghost hunting with one stick and a few buttons. It was frustrating, but it was still fun. It was fun. We had a lot of fun because you got to cooperate a little bit. But really, I meant to mention that I also picked up, because I wasn't sure, hit the red box. I said, "What you got here?" I got a free code for a game. I picked up Star Wars Jedi Fallen Out. What did you write that?
What
Fallen Order? Right?
Oh, Fallen Order. That's the new.
That's the new Star Wars game.
Yeah, I'm intending to play that. I'm going to do the Origins PC thing where I get you pay like $12 or whatever, and just play it for a month and then cancel or something.
After I beat it. I enjoyed what I played, which wasn't much, but maybe like 3 or 4 hours maybe. But it was a good time. I thought it was solid. I thought it kind of sucked me in really well, and so I don't know.
Yeah.
People, I've heard people complain about the stupidest stuff, but I don't know what's stupid. I don't ever want to downplay people's frustration.
I understand.
I'm always listen. You got to listen. If somebody's saying something, even if it sounds stupid to you, matter of fact, if it sounds stupid to you, you may need to listen a little closer and then go, oh, yeah, that's stupid.
No,
or go, oh, valid point. So,
yeah.
But I always try to stop, because every time somebody says something, I'm like, I want to give I want to give them the time to see if they're saying is valid. And one of the things that they're saying is, of course, that, oh, could we have one more bland white guy? This is what some people are saying. So don't think it's like a huge portion of people. But some people are saying, oh, a boring white guy is the lead of this Star Wars game. Why can't we do something different? And I'm like, at first, I was like, oh, shut up. And I was like, you know what? That's a valid feeling.
Sure,
right?
But there's a bunch of boring white guys in Star Wars. So
yeah.
It's consistent.
So, I mean, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, I guess that was their vision, and it doesn't really play to you. But do we need every one of these games to play to everyone? I don't know.
Would you like a not boring Spanish guy in The Mandalorian?
Right.
I've watched that. That's pretty cool. He's Spanish.
Right.
You know?
So I mean, like I said, my knee-jerk reaction was, stop being so angry at everything. And my next reaction was like, well, you know, if they feel that way, then maybe there's a valid point there somewhere. And but I still enjoyed it regardless for what it is. I can't make it into something else. I can't make it into what would be satisfying to everybody, but I can enjoy it for what it is for me personally.
Sure.
So, I mean, I enjoyed it.
I like where you're at.
Because I'm a boring white guy, so, you know, it played right to me.
I like it. I am going to play that game. I just need to get it. I'll probably stream the whole thing or something.
Right.
Our buddy John beat it in like 20 hours.
I wouldn't doubt it. It moves. That game moves. No matter who you're playing as, you're just like, it's almost like that downhill biking thing. It's just like one action scene to the next. Just go.
I'm into that. I like it. I like the Metroid vibe I'm getting from him seeing it. Some of the stuff I see from it. I don't like Dark Souls much, but the thing I like about Dark Souls is the combat. What I don't like about Dark Souls is the punishing difficulty of Dark Souls and the sparing save points and all that crap. I kind of hate that. This game seems to be the right level of the things I do like about it, and less of the things I don't, so I'm going to get in and play that game. Now, this. Whoops. Now this.
It's me, Mario!
Time for us to play a little game called Guess My Game. And
guess it.
A little meta game we play on the show. We try to guess each other's games based on sound files that each of us plays. I always start. Brian, I'm going to play a clip. Let's see if you can guess what this comes from. Are you ready?
Do it.
Here it is.
What's going on here?
That's me after Thanksgiving dinner. No, what game
does
that?
Right, was that all? I don't know, but I really dig the music. I'm racking my brain, but I can't get any traction on that at all. Give me some tips.
All right, don't look at the chat room because someone's already got it. I'll give you a hint. You carry a little radio around with you that when
say anything?
No.
A movie?
No. And when there's not a boombox over your head the whole time.
Right.
No, it's a little radio that gets loud and scratchily. It gets all like staticky when you get near something bad.
Oh, okay.
Still
okay.
Any ideas?
So kind of it must be like a horror game.
Yeah, you're right. It's a horror game, and I would say it's a...
And the sound sounded very 90s, maybe, like
late 90s. Very. I'll give you the platform. It was PlayStation 1. I will tell you this story, which is when I played it, for the first time, I got to a part about 8 hours in, maybe less, and it scared me so bad that I put the controller down, turned off the machine, took the disc out, tossed the disc across the room, went upstairs, left all the lights on my way up, got into bed, and said, I'm not putting the dogs away. You're going to have to do it. That's what happened to me. Scared the hell out of me. So
now, that's either got to be... Is it Silent Hill?
That is correct. Silent Hill. Nice job.
Ah, yes.
Well, now you
remember you telling me that game scarred you.
It did.
Really bad.
It did. You get this sound for winning. There you go. Well done. It did scare me really bad.
I don't know if I won as much as I made you give me hints until there was nothing left.
I mean, kind of, sure. There was a hill. It was kind of silent. I could have gone that way.
Right.
Anyway, there's that. And why is this?
Activate Pac-Man.
Never mind. I couldn't remember what the clip was.
Pac-Man.
Activate the Pac-Man. All right. I'm going to play yours now. I don't know what this is. I haven't played it yet. This is my first time hearing it. Let's see if I can figure it out.
Get on them. Attack, I say.
Get on them. Attack, I say.
The battle is on!
To your weapons!
By my direction, attack!
The Frozen North. The name given to the stark and unforgiving frontier that lies beyond...
The name of the game, essentially.
Oh, will it? Let's see.
Yeah, but that's fine. You keep going.
A bleak wilderness where barbarian clans and tribes of giants roam the land.
All right, I'm going to guess without hearing a name. That sounds like a fantasy game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Icewind Dale, is it?
No, but okay. You're kind of,
Am I in the zone there?
You're in the zone-ish.
Is it an RTS? Can you tell me that?
It is a third-person role-playing game.
Oh, third-person role-playing game. Give me an age. Give me how old.
It is early 2000s.
Okay.
Developed by BioWare.
Then I'm going to say this is Neverwinter Nights.
Very good.
Ding! Wait, I got to play this.
Ding!
All right, I got it. I played Neverwinter Nights. I actually own a updated version that Steam had for like $4 that is runs on modern platforms, and there's like weird servers out there you can join.
Yeah.
Like little mini MMOs.
And every time I go back and play it, I'm like, why did I stop playing Neverwinter Nights? And I get back in and I play it and I'm like, God, this is such a good game. I really love this game.
It was so cool, man, at the time.
And then about an hour or two in, I'm like,
well, it's not some things don't hold up for sure. But what I loved about it were the tools they gave players to make their own scenarios and campaigns. That stuff was unprecedented. And you could build entire conversation trees and have different events happen based on those conversations. They also had a DM mode where somebody could be the dungeon master and you all could go into his dungeon and he would drop encounters right in front of you. Like,
come on in my dungeon, guys. Yeah.
It would drop like a dragon into the fight, and you'd have to fight the dragon. It was, they were really aiming to, you know, and it was, I think, using third Gen 3 rules, or third edition rules, I should say, for right. D&D at the time. Anyway, it was a really, really cool thing, and sadly, BioWare no longer even resembles their old
selves. That's the part that makes me the, part that makes me the saddest.
There is that Neverwinter MMO that's out that's okay, free-to-play thing.
I never played that.
It's all right. It's not the... I mean, if you're going to do that, you may as well play ESO or Guild Wars 2 or something else. If you're not going to play WoW, play something better.
Exactly. But, like I said, it came along at a time when it kind of stood out, but now it would just be, you know, another one.
It'd be poopsky.
It'd be poopsy.
Well done. Nice job. Now this. We are going to do an email from a listener who sent an email in under the name Audrey Smurfter. Do you think that's real? Do you think that's real?
I think it is.
Smurfter?
Adriel, quickly, give me my Smurf map.
Smurfter. I've never heard of the name Smurfter. S-M-E-R-F-T-E-R.
I think it's Smurfter.
Smurfter? Might be Smurfter. I'm Audrey Smurfter.
See, I didn't want to say it like that.
I did.
But Smurfter.
I wanted to say it like that the whole time. All right, so this person, I don't know if they're male or female. It doesn't really matter. They said this. Hey, do you guys ever play your older consoles, or do you just move to the next thing and never look back? That's the whole question. Right. All right, so I'm a weird combination of this, but for the most part, I kind of move on. So all in the past days, and I'm bummed about some of them because I wish I had my CDX still. I wish I had my 32X still. I wish I still had my N64. What happened was I would play, and then a new thing would come out, and I'm like, this is old and busted. We don't need the old thing, and I would sell it. So I could justify paying for the new thing. And I've done that all the way up through, I think the 360 and the PS3 are the only ones I still have that I just kept past their expiration. And so I'm really bad at that. And it bums me out because I would have the most amazing console and game library ever, but I sell all my stuff once I'm done.
I used to be the same way, and I think I probably stopped around the same time. Actually, I did sell my PS3, but like my Wii, I kept that.
Oh, yeah, I still have the Wii, I guess. I have that somewhere.
Yeah.
It
varies. I mean,
I have more Nintendo stuff. I have Nintendo stuff from GameCube forward now that you mentioned that.
Right. So now I have my GameCubes, and this makes more sense. And I have, you know, since they've been doing these little minis, I haven't bothered taking out my old carts and stuff. And because really, the problem with the older consoles, especially at this point, like the N64 and the SNES, is trying to get my HDMI, you know, adapter, and you have to make sure you have all the connectors and everything, and then you got to pull. It's such a pain.
I mean, I love retro gaming. I love old games. I love to pick them up, but I don't want to manage the platforms. I want to just like fire it up and play.
And see, we're getting into a place. It's like we're still part of that generation that had to have, you know, physical items, and as we move forward more and more, these things are going to be less and less important. Like the Stadia, people having trouble understanding the Stadia thing. It's like, wait, you don't have hardware? You just, it's a service?
Yeah. No, that doesn't make sense. And I don't have any. What's the word? I don't have any connection or love for like the stacks of DVDs that I own. I don't want those anymore. I want to get rid of them.
I don't want them anymore either. No, I know.
Like, what's the point of that at all today?
I went to the library today, and I was perusing the DVD collection they had, and I was like, ooh, I haven't seen this movie in forever, and I bet it's not on Netflix. It's not anywhere. And I'm like, I just get it. And I'm like, oh my God, really? I'm going to go up to the counter, and I'm going to get this thing, and I'm going to take it home, and I'm going to put it in my player, and I'm going to watch it, and then I'm going to take this thing back. No, I'm not going to do that. No,
you're not. There's some other way to get it. Worst case, you find a friend who's got a Plex server that has it, or your Plex server has it because you used to have the disc, or one of these myriad of old and new streaming services are all bringing it back. Yeah. Like, it's just
this.
There's too much anyway. I've already got too much to watch and see and catch up on. It's not like I'm sitting around going, "Damn it! If I don't watch my DVD copy of Dark City, I'm going to explode." No, I'll be fine.
We're in a shameful time. A shameful time of riches.
It really is an embarrassment of riches right now.
Yes,
with this kind of content, we have no idea this golden age we're living in. It's insane, and we don't appreciate it. And we still yell at each other on the internet about it. What is wrong? What is wrong with us?
I have no idea. You're crazy.
Anyway, I guess that is a form of yelling. Anyway, thank you for the email. If you'd like to send your own in, go to the website and click on the contact link or use the boopshow@gmail.com address. That one totally works. boopshow@gmail.com. By the way, somebody in the chat or a whole bunch of people in the chat came up with what boop stands for, and I'd like to read some of these. Would you like to hear these?
Oh, yes, I would.
Because I like that idea. Oh, a whole bunch of them got cut off. Crap. Nah. I forgot the chat runs out. Dang it.
Say your words, people. Say them again.
Here's some. Beautifully offered otter popsicle. Bitch on our poop. Boisterous octogenarians on PCP. We're not octogenarians. Not even close.
Eventually, maybe.
Well, we're Gen Xers right now. Kiss our butts. We don't care. We're slackers.
We're slackers.
It says, let's see, Bernie's on our porch. Bitterly opening other palettes. There's a bunch here, but now I lost most of them because the chat cut them off. If somebody has the ability to go back and get those, I would love that list again because I want a bag of old potatoes, bad old original players. Like, I want to come up with a good one and use it.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys get on that. Probably players make sense.
We'll have to rename it to B.O.O.P.
Yeah, but then we can say to people, what does it mean? Well, it means like, you know, the sound boot, but also it means, you know, bag of original players or bag of opinionated potatoes.
Exactly. And then whenever somebody says boop, we go, no, it's B.O.O.P.
B.O.O.P. B.O.O.P. B.O.O.P. Yeah, if anyone comes after us, like Blizzard says, hey, we got the boop thing going with Lucio. We'd like to have full control over that. I'll say, well, ours doesn't stand for that. It stands for this. What are you going to do? Send your fat lawyers to us? Yeah. F off. Just kidding. I don't think they do that.
F off, eh?
Yeah, F off, eh? Anyway, send us boopshow@gmail.com or a voicemail would be fine. 801-471-0462. I got a bunch of those in the wings. I need to go through them all and just see if there are any for the show. I haven't had time, but I will. I'll get to it. Our website is frogpants.com/BOOP. Again, make of those letters what you will. We are on Twitter @BoopShow, the Brian Dunaway. I'm @ScottJohnson. And you can find our Reddit @BoopShow.reddit.com. Also, a bunch of you have been submitting titles today. I'm going to choose from one of those. Oh. Thanks for doing that. Vote for those titles if you haven't already in the chat room at frogpants.showbot.tv. There's a bunch of those in there now, and we would love to choose titles based on some of the stuff you said. So check that out. I think that's everything. Brian, final words of wisdom from Brian.
Stadia. It's okay.
It's a thing.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Stadia, that's their new on-the-box thing. They're going to sell that controller.
That's right.
Stadia, it's a thing. Excellent stuff. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time for another Boop Show. Until then, for me, for Brian, for all of you, take care.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh, whoops.
I didn't play it.
Hold on, do it again.
I don't like Steam. I love Steam.
There.